Let's turn to John chapter 8. I want to read a couple of verses. I put 8:36, and that's the primary emphasis verse this morning, but I want to read back up and read a couple more verses there as well, kind of the background verses for what Jesus is saying, John 8:36. So if you have your Bible, please turn there with me. If you don't have your Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you. And since you didn't bring your Bible, that's one in the pew in front of you is a rental. Just kidding. John chapter 8, starting down there in verse 34. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." You know that word, doulos, can be just as easily translated slave of sin. "And the servant," or the slave, "abideth not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to come to your house this day. Lord, we do think of those that are shut in this morning, and the places along the East Coast and that are just inundated with this snow. We ask you to be with those folks. Help those people who are clearing the way, the people who are working to clear the streets and get things back in some kind of mobility for the people there. Lord, that these things will go smoothly, no problems, and they will be back on their feet soon. But Lord, we have others on our minds and hearts today as well. And these people are entrapped in sin. They're not just shut in for a day, but they're shut in for eternity unless something happens, something marvelous and something wonderful that they might encounter Christ. So Father, we would pray that your Spirit would go before us in all that we do this week and in this world, Lord. We know that you're at work, and we pray, Father, you will have great victories in lives, not only here in America, but all around the world. Be with us now, though, as we're here in this place. We're your people in this, your house. We ask you to speak to our hearts this morning. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last week we looked at the very highly important biblical doctrine of life. I quoted to you and read from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you." They're going to be a witness against you. "That I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live." Wow, what a choice, huh? And of course, last Sunday in the morning we looked at the importance of life, and we saw how that God values life and that we ought to value it, and the very promise of life, all those things. Sunday night, you weren't here, but I talked about the second part of that. He says what? "I'm setting before you life or death, blessing or curse." Blessing or what? Curse. And we endeavor to look at what happens to those who choose death. Some of the great nations that in the ancient world you know nothing about. You hardly have even heard their name because they were under the judgment sentence of God and they were wiped off the map because of their willingness to choose death, to sacrifice their children on the altar of prosperity, to sacrifice their children on the altar of convenience, to sacrifice their children that they might prosper. What a horrendous thing it was. And God abhors that sin. And he punished them. And we also saw those verses that remind us that you don't have to actually literally participate in those actions. But if you hear and you don't speak, if you see and you don't move, then you're just as guilty as everybody else. We live in a land that's sacrificing their children every day. 1 point something million every year, aborted babies. God wiped the slate clean. Blessing or curse. So we looked at life, how important it is to choose life. But I want us to look this morning at freedom, how important it is to understand what freedom is and where we get our freedom, and understand what a great responsibility it is to have freedom. There are things that come along with freedom, and we need to understand that. You know, our country was founded by those who came across the Atlantic Ocean to come to a place where they might be able to have freedom. They wanted to worship God as their conscience gave them dictate. And so they sacrificed everything to come to this new land, to this new world, to form a grand experiment in freedom. You know, in 1775, a group of American patriots met in Virginia at St. John's Church. I can't stress enough to you to go back and read these things. The details are important, but I can't tell you every detail or we'd be right there all day. But they met at St. John's Church in Virginia to discuss and to debate liberty. To talk about freedom. There were many that met there. And they came to debate that question, and they called it was a question of freedom. This is a quote. It's a question of freedom or slavery. Freedom or slavery to the British Crown. That's what they came to talk about. Just by meeting, they put themselves in jeopardy, but they did it anyway. And one of those brave young men stood that day, and he began to make a speech. He began to talk about the question that was before them on freedom and slavery. And they said that they were engaged in an audacious struggle for liberty. Again, a quote. After an impassioned plea in which he spoke about liberty, he ended his speaking by saying this, and you've heard part of this. He said, "Forbid it." You haven't heard that part. "Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or death." You say, "Oh, I know who that was. That was Patrick Henry." Yes, that's exactly right. Well, yesterday, you know, I was heading over to New Haven, and I was listening to the radio, as my want is, and I had the Glenn Beck program on, and at the end of the week, they have something they call Moron Trivia. I think it's M-O-R-E on Trivia, but it's Moron Trivia. It's a play on words. He loves that. And what they do is they call people in whichever state is the football going to play. So they called Arizona, and they called people that worked in a convenience store in Arizona, and they called people that worked in Charlotte, because Arizona and Charlotte are the Panthers are going to play today. The most amazing thing about this thing is that they've done this for years and years and years, and they ask people questions unrelated to football. It has nothing to do with football, these little questions. But they'll ask them these four questions, and amazingly enough, 86% of the time these people get it right. Isn't that amazing? That just don't seem right. They're not even talking about football. And they're calling morons. I mean, they're calling Moron Trivia. To ask them three questions. And two questions just jumped out to me. I thought to myself, "Oh, good grief, this can't be true." One of the questions was, "What is the Emancipation Proclamation?" And this lady that they had called in Arizona said, "I'm not sure what that is." "Oh, wait a second. Is it when a judge emancipates a teenager from their parent or something because of..." And they gave it to her. Because it's partially true. That's the basis for that legal judgment is the Emancipation Proclamation. But she didn't know it had anything to do with slavery. She didn't know anything about that. So that got my blood going. I'm thinking to myself, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, this is Waters World, you know. These people on the street, you know, what day of the week is it? I don't know, you know. So then the second question came along, or the third, whichever one it was, in the order, I'm not sure. But the other question that got me was they asked these people, what are the three branches of government? The girl in Arizona was totally baffled. She had no idea. She gave nothing. No answer whatsoever. Now, we must give credit where credit is due. When they called the person in Charlotte, they actually said, I think maybe the Senate. The Senate, yes, the Senate. But that's all they could come up with, was the Senate. So both places, neither in Arizona nor in Charlotte, North Carolina, could anybody answer those two questions? That's horrible. That's horrible. But these examples show us what America's great problem really is. You probably heard that old joke. Somebody come up to a man on the street, and he asked the guy on the street, he says, you know, what's America's greatest problem? He says, I don't know and I don't care. And he says, man, you've got it both right. Ignorance and apathy. You know, if I had children in college, I would be jerking them out of every college that I knew anything about because they don't teach anything. I want my child to know something more than basket weaving 101, especially if I'm paying like $30,000 a year or whatever to do that. It's ignorance. We're not teaching our children anymore American history. They don't have any idea what the Emancipation Proclamation is all about. They have no idea what the three branches of government are. They're not trying to be cute. They're not trying to be funny. They don't know. They're ignorant. We have become a nation of dunces. We have been dumbed down so much that we really are dumb now. We're dunces. We don't know anything. Ignorance of our roots, ignorance of our traditions, ignorance of the system of government that we live under. No wonder these guys can go to Washington and do all kinds of crazy things and nobody even knows what they're doing because they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be our representatives. They're not supposed to go up there and make a couple of extra million because we elected them to be a congressman. They don't know. And to compound that ignorance is we don't care. Give me some stuff and I'm good. Give me a free phone, I'm good. Just give me stuff. I don't want to work, but I demand to be fed. I don't want discipline in my life, sexually, morally, or any of those other things, but I demand that I can smoke as much marijuana as I want to smoke. Whatever it is. I demand my rights. That's an amazing thing. They wouldn't even know what their rights are constitutionally. Few people have ever even read the Constitution. Fewer people probably haven't even read the Declaration of Independence. It's amazing. We know parts of it. Just like we knew, give me liberty or give me death, but we didn't know the first part. We didn't know the whole quote. So some people know something about the Declaration of Independence. They know that when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bounds. Oh, that's the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. So we kind of know that part. And then when it gets to down there a little bit, second paragraph, to hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. They probably might have heard that somewhere along the line, but they don't know what it means. They haven't any idea how that has any impact on their life. You know, Thomas Jefferson understood that word, unalienable. You know, I would challenge you today. Go home and try to read some of those documents and try to read what people say about it. And I guarantee you that you will find perhaps over half of the people you Google to talk about that don't know what they're talking about. because they were talking about, they will begin talking about inalienable rights. It's not inalienable. There's a difference between inalienable and unalienable. Jefferson understood unalienable to be fixed rights given by God to us, not rights given by the government. It has nothing to do with government. You can't do anything about it. God's already gave it to you. It's yours. It's a gift. Since government doesn't give these rights, government can't take them. They're unalienable. They're yours because you're created in the image of God. These rights are yours. Period. Later on, if you'll look down there in the Bill of Rights, you'll find that they actually enumerate certain rights. Which again, you probably heard something about free speech. You see, we can actually criticize our government and nobody can arrest you for it. Free speech, freedom of religion. It's not freedom from religion, it's freedom of religion. You see, we are supposed to impact the government, but the government is supposed to be restrained from impacting us. Right to keep and bear arms. Boy, that's a hot topic, isn't it? Self-determination with regards to one's own property. The right to a speedy trial by jury of one's peers. And it goes on down there and lists those rights. But there in that declaration of independence, he names three, doesn't he? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Interesting enough, in that Declaration of Independence, they had the audacity, those men who signed that document, they had the audacity to write down grievances. We're going to dissolve these bands, and here's the reason why. And they enumerated them. He, you begin to read those section, it starts out with he, that's the king, has refused his assent to laws and most wholesome and necessary, these are most wholesome and necessary for public good. Now, if you're like me and you begin to read those, and you're saying to yourself, wow, 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 wow. And so, the first one has to do with law. The second one has to do with law. The third, listen, they all do. They all do. You see, what they were saying in the Declaration of Independence was that God has given us certain unalienable rights. We can speak, we can do all these things, we have freedom of religion. But also, the king is not above the law. The king is not above the law. At the end of that Declaration of Independence, it says this, for we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealed to the Supreme Judge of the world. What were these guys doing? You have the king. We're going over your head. We're going straight to God on this deal. You're outvoted. One with God is the majority. You're outvoted. The king thinks he has the divine right of kings. He thinks he's sovereign. He thinks he's mighty God on earth. But they were saying, no, no, no. We're going to God, the real God. And we're going to place ourselves in his hands. The king, matter of fact, in that declaration, they called a despot. What is a despot or despotism? It's a tyrant, isn't it? They called King George III a despot. Can you imagine when he read that document, what he was thinking? I don't know if he read it. He probably had somebody else read it, and they say, you don't want to look at this. They call him a despot. He said, the king, this despot, has become lawless. He thinks he is the law. We say that God is in charge. He's the judge of all this world. We have been given these rights from God, and these laws are good and just, and he should have to abide by them. Even the king. And of course, 56 men signed that Declaration of Independence. They pledged what? Their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. I know that probably you have read that John Hancock's name on that document is about three times larger than anybody else's signature on the page. Have you ever seen a copy of it? I don't know if he said this sarcastically or not, but he said this is so King George doesn't have to get his glasses out to see who I signed. Listen, these guys knew they were in trouble. They had just declared war on England. They had just said the king of England is a despot. He's a tyrant. He needs to be replaced. He should follow the law. He's not doing that. And so he's not following the law. Therefore, we don't have to follow his laws. Out of those 56 guys, five of them were captured and tortured to death. 12 of them had their homes looted and burned to the ground. Two of them who had sons were killed in the Continental Army. One who had two sons who was in prison immediately, stayed in prison the whole time. 9 of them also died fighting in the war themselves. When they said, we're giving our lives, our fortune, our sacred honor, they meant it. But they understood what that meant. We're going to stand against the greatest power of the world. And we're going to depend upon God to give us the victory. Give me liberty or give me death. What's the third option again? Look, we don't need a new Declaration of Independence. We don't need a new constitution. What we need is the return of American patriotism, firmly rooted once again in the principles of God's holy word and looking for his sovereignty in our lives. That's what we need to return to. They, we might say, were all in, as they love to say, on those gambling programs. They put everything on the table. If God does not do this, everything is lost. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. We've been told, of course, that this country was not founded upon Judeo-Christian beliefs. We've been told that a million times. They will hold up examples and things like that. Certainly, most of those guys, I would agree 100%, weren't Baptists, that's for sure. Some of them didn't have time to repent and become a good Baptist, but nevertheless. Surely. But you know, to say that this country was not founded upon Judeo-Christian beliefs is a lie. It's a lie. The person who says that should immediately almost be shouted down. The person who says that should be called into question immediately. What are you talking about? Don't you know the history of the United States? Because it's a lie. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell, designed to destroy our vision of who we are in Christ. It's designed to kill our morale. It's designed to deceive our youth. And they've done a pretty good job of it because we have been hearing but not speaking. We have been seeing but not acting. And so, blessing or curse. Recently, Dr. Donald Lutz and Charles Heyman have conducted a very exhaustive study of over 15,000 documents concerning the founding of this nation, and they have found out that overwhelmingly the principles upon which these men drew their ideas was from the Bible. You know, I believe that the Bible teaches, and I also believe that these founders believe, that all real freedom comes from God. You see, tolerance, we're being told all the time, be tolerant, be tolerant. Most of the time that means sit down, shut up, and be quiet. But to be tolerant is a gift from man to man. But freedom is a gift from God to man. And he does not rescind it. Oh, he holds us accountable for how we use it, most assuredly. You know, I do not promote freedom because I believe that everyone will exercise that freedom wisely or even do it well or good. But God has entrusted us with that virtue. We are asked to, over in Acts 16, for example, 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God dignifies us as human beings, those who are created in his image, with the awe-inspiring gift of freedom. We have freedom. We have a free will. The power to say yes or no to God. Listen, if we have the power to say yes or no to God Almighty, we have the power to say yes or no to a king. Listen, if we have the power to say yes or no to God Almighty, we have the power to say to the President of the United States, you're wrong. It's a no. We have that power. We've been given that. If we can say no to God, then we have an awesome responsibility of freedom. We're not just animals. We can reason. We don't go on instinct alone. We can agree with God or we can disagree with God. We can rebel against God or we can serve God. We have that freedom. And God calls us to obey his commands, doesn't he? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 30, which we started off with in verse 19, he asked us to do what? Choose life. I set before you life or death, a blessing or a curse. Choose life. Listen. Choose life. If we don't have the power to choose, then that's a meaningless offer. It's meaningless if we don't have the ability to choose that. It's meaningless. Success or failure is not determined by fate. I know some people think so. I don't think so. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. If it's all predetermined, then you don't have to worry about that. If it's all laid out and it's just kismet, fate, you don't have to worry about that. Because you didn't choose to begin with. That's what you're going to get. Regardless of who you are and what you want and how you conduct yourselves. You know, I worked as a plumber's helper in Florida, and we worked on a Gulf Power business. It was an electric company, and it was a huge building, and it was going to be concrete, and they came and they brought these sections in, and they poured, of course, this big, huge footer for this building. And, you know, a plumber puts the stuff in the ground. The pipes and things like that. Where that's where you start. And so we had this 20-acre field that was going to be the Gulf Power building. And this was in Fort Walton Beach. It was in the summertime. It was hot. There were no trees out there. Matter of fact, what little bit of concrete was out there just reflected the heat. And some gracious person had decided that when they pour the footers and things like that, there's no need to level this dirt in the middle. We'll just leave it like it is. Have you ever worked an Alabama backhoe? It's a shovel. It's a shovel. There weren't any front-end loaders that got out there and dug those ditches. It was me and another guy. Richard Smart was his name. Richard and I dug those ditches. Our boss came in the morning and he says, look here, guys. Here's what we need to do. This is the main line. You know, here, you know, here. Just start digging. I'll come back this evening. Richard was about 6'5" or so like that, big strapping young lad.
And I don't know what was wrong with that guy. He loved a shovel. Have you ever met anybody that, David, loved a shovel? I think there's something wrong with a person who loves the shovel. Richard loved a shovel. We got down there and we're digging. And, you know, we're supposed to get a little break sometime along the morning, you know, 10, 15 minutes or something. If you didn't remind Richard of that, he was digging. He just... So I would say, Richard, it's about time for break, man. Tell you what, I'll buy you a Coke if you'll stop. Of course, they only cost a dime then. If you'll just stop for a little while, let me catch my breath. Whatsoever his hand found to do with a shovel, he loved it. But listen, nobody had to prod him to do that. He did it. He's a good worker. I wasn't so good. I didn't care anything about making a whole lot of ditches through those. And then, of course, when we finally got to one side to the other side, guess what we found out? Brother Bill, the engineers hadn't put sleeves in the concrete walls for the pipes to run through. And then we got to take a jackhammer and rope it over the side and put, you know, they're supposed to go like this. But we're having to dig a hole in the side or bust a hole in the side of that concrete wall, which was about that thick. It was a big, big building. Oh, my goodness. It's a wonder that I'm not, you know, like 110 pounds. Somehow I recovered. But the writer, whatsoever your hand is fine to do, you can choose to do it. You can choose to work. You can choose to do these things. Proverbs 21 tells us that the thoughts, our thoughts of diligence, the plans that we have to work, they tend only to plenteousness. It's surely an advantage for us to plan. Well, if your decision-making power has nothing to do with it, there's no sense in making a plan. It's just going to be what it's going to be. You know, that's why communism hates God. Did you know that? That's one of the reasons. It promises plenty. It promises utopia without work. Of course, it's always a failure. It never works. Because some guys work harder than others. Some guys can come up with a dime and say, Richard, let's stop for just a little while here. Some guys work harder than others. Some guys are lazier. Work always broke me out in a hot sweat. Al, I don't know what the deal was on that thing. But the lazy still want to be paid the exact amount of the worker. But the Bible says what? Be not mocked or deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. We either sow to the wind and we'll reap the whirlwind, or we can follow God and his plans. Listen, friends, we must strengthen ourselves so that we may speak the truth of God, speak this Bible, speak these words, communicate these principles and teachings of Jesus to a lost and dying world who don't know anything about Jesus. These folks that are going over there and joining ISIS and all that kind of stuff, you ever have an idea why they're doing that? Because they're empty inside. There's a vacuum in there. They actually want to do something. The ISIS people tell them there is a God and they don't apologize for it. They don't back up one inch. There is a God and he either can reward or he can punish. Come join us, you know. If you've got a propensity to murder, cut people's heads off, rape women, this is perfect for you. Come over here. Friends, we must communicate to that world that has been left in the dark for 50 years at least to the principles of God. They don't even know what they are. How can they choose them if they don't know what they are? How do they hear without a preacher? The hearts must be turned to wisdom. These ordinary people of Jesus' day, they called on him. They said, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Over in Mark, Mark says the people were amazed as his doctrine. Over in Matthew 7, it says, for he taught them as one who had authority, not one like the scribes. When Jesus talked about heaven, they knew he'd been there. When the scribes talked about it, they thought, oh well. Choose life. Blessing or curse. Life or death. Freedom. Choose freedom. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. You say, well, that's a religious thought. That's a spiritual thought. Yes, and all these things are rooted in the principle and character of God. We choose life because God values life. It makes good sense to choose life, but nevertheless, God values life, and he abhors those who take it frivolously, especially. And then he says, choose freedom. The reason why we prosper and we're the nation we are is because we appropriated those principles of God's word. And we got the blessings from them. You listen to the average newscast today and you'll never hear that at all. You'll hear something totally different. But that's the reason why who we are and what we are. And that's what made us great as a people. We valued life. We valued freedom. With life came responsibility. With freedom came responsibility. And we accepted that responsibility. We need to introduce them to real freedom. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I think it was the Beatles had a little song, "We All Want to Change the World." You know, I really kind of think that that's true. Something deep down in every human heart, there's a place in us that we want to do something that's significant. We want our lives to count for something. We don't want to just make money or grub in the dirt, digging ditches for Smith Plumbing. I was making huge money, $2 and a nickel an hour. Yeah. I'll tell you what, that wasn't really very satisfying to me. I did it because I had to put bread on the table. I was pursuing something higher, something more noble, something greater. In the pursuit of that, God used me to show Jesus to those who worked in and around me. And occasionally someone would actually recognize it and tell me. When I worked out on Oak Coast Island, it was a doctor's thing, three doctors building this house. It's still standing, matter of fact, and I worked on it. we call it the birdhouse because it had spiral staircases and little round portholes for windows and all kinds of stuff. It was really kind of cool. But the lead carpenter on that job, who worked for another company, his name was Obi, and his brother's name was Ori. And so I was a plumber. I didn't really work for those guys, but I worked with them. And they had their fun. They set up a transit one day and found a nude girl on the beach and said, hey, preacher, come over here, look at this. They had their fun. But you know, one day I was walking through the Piggly Wiggly. You know what the Piggly Wiggly is? I was walking through the Piggly Wiggly, and I bumped into Obi. Yeah. I said, hey, how are you doing? He said, hey, doing fine, you know. How are you doing? I said, well, you know. He said, before you go, he said, you know, preacher, we kidded you unmercifully. Oh, well, you know, it goes with the territory. And then he said this. He says, I know you will not really believe this. He says, but you know, my brother and I were Assembly of God. You couldn't have proved that to me. I'll take your word for it. But that's, He said, you know, about 3 or 4 months after you quit working that summer, my brother and I were talking about you and all the stuff that we did to you, did on purpose. And he says, my sister asked us to come back to church. They were having revival. He says, I don't know why we went. We hadn't been in years and years, but we went. He said, when the preacher gave the invitation, he said, I was down front on my knees, tears in my eyes, repenting and asking God to forgive me and use me once again. And he said, I got up and turned around, and there, just a couple of people down from me, was my brother. He said, I want you to know, Mike, that you really did have some effect on our life. And I thought, what a great compliment that is. I even hesitate to tell you, because you're thinking I'm trying to. But that's, it's the truth. We can impact people's lives. We don't have to know immediately what's going on. All we're supposed to do and called to do is live Jesus. Live the freedom that we have in Christ. Value the principles of God. And God will do the rest. The Holy Spirit's at work in these people's lives, even to the crushing, the psalmist says. God can do surprising, wonderful, miraculous things. But he wants us to be faithful in his service. Lord, the offer still stands for us to choose life or death, blessing or curse. The offer still stands. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And if the Son shall set us free, we will be free indeed. Lord, somehow or another, drive those truths home to our hearts. And help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to live them out. It's desperate out there for a word of truth. And we're your ambassadors, commissioned. Help us to go. In Jesus' name, amen.